Man, we got a full house this morning. You know what? Can I tell you right quick what 9:30 service should do when they get here? Hug every one of the people that got up and came to church at 8 o'clock because they gave you a seat to sit in at 9:30. Oh, I'm teasing, man. It's good to be here. Glad you're here. It's always good to come hang out and worship the Lord. We're in this series. Our series is entitled Home Sweet Home. We've been discussing and talking about the importance of our homes, the importance of marriage, the importance of raising children, and how home is God's plan, and how if you and I will get it right at home, it will overflow into every area of our life. We need to have these moments at home, sweet home. And so today I'll read you a scripture starting out. I've read it to you the last several weeks, and I'll continue to read it to you. It's kind of our basis. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. Moses wrote these words, and he said, "And these words I command you this day." How many of you know the Ten Commandments, that what we've been talking about? Can I tell you, look at me right quick. The Ten Commandments are not the Ten Suggestions. We feel like God is suggesting these and we can follow them, and if everything is okay, we will obey them. These are not the suggestions of your school teacher. These are not the suggestions of Hollywood. These are not the suggestions of government. These are the commandments of Almighty God. And these commandments, the scripture says, shall be on our heart. Everybody say heart. They said, we're going to talk about our hearts a lot today. These commandments should be on your heart. And verse number 7 says, you should teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and rise up. We chose to find a starting place. Where do I start in my home, Cody? Where do I start teaching and training my children? And we settled on starting with the Big Ten. The Big Ten Commandments, that's what we're going to teach. I want to remind you of something today, because when this series is over, we're going to move on to something else. I want to remind you that teaching and learning and training and knowing the Ten Commandments and getting them on your heart, that is a good starting place and not a good finishing place. It's a good place to start, but once we get those elementary things down, then we must grow and we must learn. We're going to study and we're going to look that there were 10 commandments in the Old Testament. But when you get to the New Testament, there are over 50 commands that Jesus commanded his followers to live and obey daily in their lives. Last Sunday we talked about the first 5 commandments. Today we're going to talk about the last 5. And so for your reference today, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. You want to read it when you get home. You want to read along with me right now. Some people asked me last week, I'll say this, Cody, why do you not put the scriptures up on the screen anymore? Why do you not use the TV that you used to use? Can I tell you, I love the TV, but we're limited on space over here. And so you know what the Lord challenged us with? Let me remind you, when we started out January 1, that God wants his people to fall back in love with the Word of God. And so the reason, so in case you're wondering, the reason we're not putting it up, we want you to bring your Bible to church. We want you to bring your phone, your iPad, whatever, however you study, we want you to get familiar with it and look up scriptures and follow along with us. Today, Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 through 17 says, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, convict us. Holy Spirit, encourage us. Holy Spirit, be present. Holy Spirit, we need you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So here's what I want us to do. Before we dive off into the actual breaking down of the last 5 of the Ten Commandments, I want to read to you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15. I don't know about you, but the Bible, all scripture is inspired by God. Every bit of it, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, it is inspired by God. But when I read the letters that are written in red, I just pay attention a little bit more. And these are Jesus's words, and he's going to teach us how to follow these commandments. He's going to teach us how to obey. Let's look at what he says in Matthew 15, verse 18 through 19. Jesus says, "But what comes out of your mouth, comes from your heart. How many of you have ever got into a fight or an argument or discussion and whack, something come out of your mouth and you knew it was the wrong thing and you said, but I didn't mean what I just said. Jesus said, what comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. Everybody say heart. And that's what defiles a person. Watch this, verse number 19. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts. From out of your heart comes murder. From out of your heart comes adultery. For out of your heart comes sexual immorality. For out of your heart comes theft. For out of your heart becomes lies. And out of your heart comes slander. Jesus is just reminding us that the enemy is out to get our heart. In the end of the day, he wants to ruin your marriage. At the end of the day, he wants to ruin your self-confidence. At the end of the day, he wants to stop what God is doing in the lives of your sons and daughters, the enemy. But where the enemy is going to start is getting at your heart. If he can get our heart hard, if he can get our heart bitter, if he can get our heart full of unforgiveness, if he can get our heart jacked up, then we'll become murderers, we'll become thieves, we'll become men and women of adultery, and the enemy has already won the battle. The enemy's after your heart. That's why the scripture says that we must love God with all of our heart. Because here's the deal. Can I tell you what? Oh, can I? You know what today is? I got to remind y'all of something. Pause. Hit the pause button a minute. Today is mine and Jennifer's 23rd anniversary of being pastor at Bethel Assembly over here. Just saying. I just thought about that. Put up with you knuckleheads 23 years, Lord Jesus. But at pastoring 23 years, and I see people come, and I see people go, and I see sin enter in, and I see marriages fall apart, and I see children being wayward and living in the pig pen. It's just part of life, and it's the way it goes. And can I tell you, after observing for 23 years, it all starts with somebody's heart going south. That's why when we love God with all of our heart, we love God with all of our heart has no room for anything else to come in. Love God with all of our heart. So here's the deal. Here's why teaching and training, we're talking about teaching and training. Here's why teaching and training must be a heart thing and not just a head thing. Because you can teach your kids to get it up here, but if it never gets down to here, it will never ever overflow in their life. Can I be real with y'all? I know a lot of people in churches. I know a lot of people, they know a whole lot more scripture than me. They got a whole lot more knowledge and they're a whole lot more educated, but their hearts are jacked up. You can't just get it up here. You got to get it inside of here because out of our heart flow the issues of life. And if we keep our heart beating for God and if we keep our heart filled with a passionate love for God, that will overflow and bring health to every area of our life. The enemy is after your heart. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. So we got to keep our heart right. If we're going to follow the Ten Commandments, we have to keep our heart right, and then we will understand, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not murder. Let's talk about what does that mean, murder? Murder means simply this, to kill or slaughter inhumanely, to kill or slaughter inhumanely. And I know you're good people. You're West Texas country folk. You say, Cody, I'm going to teach my children not to kill, not to murder, not to inhumanely shoot someone or stab someone or hurt someone. But I want to just give you a few statistics so we can think about things. Did you know in America in 2023, there were over 30,000 people that were murdered, that were inhumanely slaughtered, that were shot down, gunned down in the streets. They were stabbed. They were strangled. They were just inhumanely slaughtered. Why? Can I tell you this? That statistics show that murder rates are going higher and higher and higher every year in America. You know why? Because we've not taught and trained our children to honor the commandments of God. We have taken God out of our country. We're full of bitterness, anger, and hate, and it is overflowing into our country. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not murder. Let's go a little bit deeper. Can we go a little bit deeper? Can I hear a good amen? January is Sanctity of Life Month. So let's talk about that for a moment. Sanctity of life. We are pro-life as Bible-believing followers of Jesus Christ. We are not pro-choice. I don't care what our country says. I'm going to give you some scripture, and I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. And if you believe one part of the Word of God, you got to believe every part of the Word of God, and we are pro-life. Can I tell you, abortion, put it how you want to put it, call it what you want to call it, abortion is murder. It is inhumanely slaughtering or killing a human being. And yes, a baby is a human being because the scripture teaches us this. Before we were in our mother's womb, God knew us. The scripture teaches us that God saw our unformed bodies and that God knew us and that all of our days were ordained by God. And the scripture teaches us that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. If we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and if God has ordained our steps and God has known us in the beginning and saw our unformed bodies, who are we to decide that what God has created should be murdered? In or out of the womb matters not. 930,000 abortions took place in America last year. Almost a million babies were murdered in their mother's womb. Now, let's be honest. Can we be honest today? With a group of this many people, you know what? There are people in this room who have struggled with abortion. There are probably women in this room that have had abortions. And I know that it's a struggle, and I know that we preach against it, but can I tell you something right quick? If you made that decision and you made it because you didn't have the best guidance and because you didn't have the best wisdom, it may not have been the best choice, but if you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been redeemed and you have been born again, your past is paid in full. So do not let anyone, especially the enemy, bring condemnation and guilt over you. Do not. But if you're contemplating, can I tell you some scary stuff about abortion right quick? Some scary statistics. 61% of Americans believe abortion should be made legal. You want to hear one scarier than that? 62% of the women that went and had abortions said they had some sort of religious affiliation. That means they were associated with some kind of church and some kind of denomination, yet went against the word and the will of God and went through with a procedure just because it was convenient. We got to be careful about this murder thing. Let's go on and talk about murder a little bit more. 1 John 3:15 says this. 1 John 3:15 says, everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Well, how about we teach and train our children not to hate? Have you seen this hate-filled world that we live in? The Baptists hate the Methodists. No, I'm teasing. The Christians hate the non-believers, and the non-believers hate the Christians, and the Muslim hate the Christian, and the Christian hate the Muslim, and the left hates the right, and the Democrats hate the Republicans, and we're at one another, and everywhere you turn on the news and on social media, we live in this hate-filled world, and we're raising up these kids to draw these lines and to live lives of hate, and hate will destroy you from the inside out. Hate not dealt with, hate and anger and bitterness towards others not dealt with will result in a hardened and a jacked up heart. And if the enemy gets your heart, he gets the victory in your life. We got to teach our children to forgive and to let go and not hold grudges. First thing, we shall not murder. Second thing is this, we shall not commit adultery. Lord Jesus, let us talk about this topic. You know what that is? You know what adultery, you know what it means? It says you shall not commit adultery. It really breaks down to this: marital unfaithfulness. There's other areas in the scripture that talk about having premarital sex and talk about living together. But this specific commandment of God is thou shalt not commit adultery. And adultery is unfaithfulness into a marriage. Why was that so big? Why was that so important? Because marriage is the basis of home sweet home. And if you can break down the marriage, you can break down the family. And if you get the broken down family and a broken down marriage, a home that was once a home sweet home will not be really sweet anymore. Let's talk about divorce. We don't talk about it much because here we are in this room again. We're victims of divorce. We've lived in homes that have been through divorce. Some of us have been through divorces. And let me just tell you once again, if you've been, the Bible says God hates divorce, but it doesn't say God hates divorced people. And so if you've been through a divorce, you know what? And it's been redeemed and you've been forgiven and you're remarried or looking to remarry, don't allow your past divorce to label you again. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Divorce is dangerous. Here's what the enemy does. How many of you, don't raise your hands, are products of a divorced home? And then it's like, well, it's the kids suffer. Home sweet home. Is it my mom? Is it my dad? I had a home and I don't have a home, and now mom's here and dad's there, and who do I go with, and who do I love, and who's right and who's wrong? And then mom gets remarried and dad gets remarried, and now all of a sudden you got stepdads and you got stepmoms, and then you got step-grandparents and step-grandparents, and it's this and it's that, and it's Christmas, and what are you doing? How do I do it? Who do I love the most? And our children are suffering. That's why God is going back in the beginning and saying, if you get married, you shall not commit adultery. Do what you got to do. If we believe that God has ordained our steps, you did not get that pretty little woman in your life because you were sexy and you had some swag. We got our spouses because God ordained our steps together, and we should work hard, lay our lives down to make this marriage work and not commit adultery. Not go have sex outside of our marriage. Are you okay? Married folk. How many married in here? Let me see. Raise your hand. Look at me. Look. Listen really, really good. I'm going to be real with y'all, okay? Married folk, have sex and have sex often. All my men said amen. I'm telling you, have sex and have sex often. Keep your spouse interested. Keep life interesting. You know what? Meet the needs of your spouse physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Because I'm going to tell you, if we keep our spouse interested and if we keep feeding one another's needs, then your husband and your wife will not be looking outside of the covenant of marriage to get fulfillment. Most preachers wouldn't tell you that, but old Cody will. Keep your spouse interested. Keep it interesting. Come on, y'all. Matthew chapter 5. Let's talk about more and more about sex. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. Jesus says, but I say unto you, everyone that looks on a man or a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery in his heart. So you may be going out there, you may be today, you're going, Cody, but I've never been unfaithful to my wife. I've never been unfaithful to my husband. Let me ask you this. Have you looked at a man or a woman with lustful intent? Have you looked at them? Because you know how that. Let me show you how the world is. The enemy's kicking our butt when we look to Hollywood, when we look to culture, when we look to the movies, when we listen to the music that is being played everywhere. There is one resounding message, and it is this: sex, 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 sex. Everywhere we turn, the enemy is trying to tear down our home sweet home with sex. One of the major issues right now, if you look at a man or woman with lust in your heart, one of the major issues that is destroying our country, that is destroying our young sons and daughters, and destroying our marriages, and I'm going to show you, it's messing with the church too, and it's pornography. Some of you are struggling with it right now. You know what statistics say? Between 60 and 70% of the men that attend church on a regular basis are regularly viewing pornography. That means 6 or 7 out of 10 men in this room struggle with pornography. Now, wait a minute. Let me tell you something else that's really alarming. 30 to 35% of the women that attend church on a regular basis regularly view pornography. So you know what? We got to make sure, because all that does is create a jacked up mindset. It creates a place where the enemy can come and bring darkness. We got to be careful about pornography. Can I tell you something? This next statement, I'm going to make two statements, and it's going to make some of you really, 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 really nervous. And I like it. Parents, look at me. Parents, look at me. Parents, look at me. Know what is on your children's phone. Don't give me that crap of they're 14 and I got to respect their privacy. No, no, no. We're learning. If we want a home sweet home, we got to teach and train our sons and daughters, and you got to know what is on their iPhone. Go and look. Go to their private messages. Go to their text messages. Let me tell you a trick. If they have Face ID on their phone, wait till they go to sleep and go in their room. Go to their internet, look on their search history. I'm telling you, there's a bunch of young people in this room that are struggling with it, and they need mom or dad to be straight with them and help them out of it. No, I'm fitting to really make you nervous too, right here. Know what's on your spouse's phone. Oh, y'all got real quiet then. Anytime you are around your husband or wife and you go to reach for their phone and they go, oh, wait a minute, I got a call. There's something going on that phone. Something going on that phone, and it probably has to do with adultery or pornography. So, no. Jennifer, she got mine last night. She's looking through that sucker like it's right here. No. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't steal. Don't steal. You say, Cody, I taught my kids not to steal. How many of you stole something before? I did. Y'all remember Albertsons in Abilene, South 14th? My mama took me to Albertsons one time. I was a little old knuckleheaded kid, and I wanted a pack. I love my grandmother Jean. My grandmother Jean did everything she did with passion. I loved to watch her cook. I loved to watch her work in the yard, and I loved to watch her chew gum. She could chew that gum and pop that gum, and she had some dentures, so she chewed Free Dent. Come on, somebody. And it was when they had them in the plenty pack. There was like 17 sticks in one pack, you know. And I went to Albertson's with my mama, and I wanted some Free Dent like my nanny Jean, and my mama wouldn't let me buy it. I sneaked over and get it, put it in my pocket, and I got home with it. I done chewed a couple of pieces. My mama said, where'd you get that, boy? Next day, I'm talking about at the moment they opened, mama had me back down at Albertson's. I had to confess. I had to pay for it, and I had to give them the gum back as well. Don't steal. Don't steal. Let me tell you about Jennifer, y'all, right quick. Side of that woman, y'all do not ever see. She, how do you know? Some of you, she's sweet and she's cute, but she got a fiery side too, boy. We went to Fredericksburg last week just to get away a couple of days, and I told her, babe, we got no money. We're broke. Don't be charging. Don't. We're broke. We're just going down there to hang out. First place she goes, James Avery Jewelry. Want a new bracelet, boy. Go in there and try a $400 bracelet on anyway. Going there with the kids, try it on. You know how it is. I was just looking at it, just holding it, you know, looking at it. So that night we decide to eat supper, and they tell us, hey, there's a pizza truck in town. It's a new pizza truck. It's wood-fired, brick oven pizza. You got to get some pizza. We go order some pizza. We're sitting outside, and Jennifer goes to get her a piece of pizza, and there is this $400 James Avery bracelet on her arm. And Clara's like, Mom, you stole that bracelet. Jennifer's like, oh, my gosh, I forgot. I tried it on, and I walked out of the place with it on my arm. She's wearing it this morning, y'all. We got it for free. The next morning, man, we go right back downtown, and you know what? Jennifer's like, I'm sorry, man. Look what I did. I wore it. She gave it back, and I'm telling you, it was simple, but it would have been really easy just to walk on off and go, I got this thing. Nobody will ever know. Praise the Lord. I'll play my fiddle with my $400 bracelet on next week. But she went back, and she confessed, and she gave it back, and really, what a great witness that was for my young daughter at age 12 to do what's right and do not steal. Stop stealing. When we steal, can I tell you something? The enemy is the one that steals. The enemy comes to steal from you and I. We don't belong to the enemy. We belong to God, and God comes to give, not steal. So when we steal, we're doing the work of the enemy. Do you know why people steal? Because they're lazy. Have you seen TV? Looting? They don't work. Breaking down doors? Stealing? They're lazy. Lazy, lazy, lazy. You know what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:28? Let the thief steal no more. Let him work, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he will have and that he can help others when they are in need. Don't be lazy. Number four, don't bear false witness. You know what that means? Stop lying. Stop lying. How many of you know some church folk will look you right in the eye, praise God with one hand, shake your hand with the other, and straight bald face lie to you? We live in a world, don't lie. Don't lie. Don't lie. Just make up in your mind. Teach your kids, I'm never going to lie. Sometimes when you tell the truth, how many of you know you'll get a little bit of backlash sometimes? Harry Truman, one of our great presidents, said, you know what? Everybody says I'm giving them hell. I ain't giving them hell. I'm just telling them the truth, and they think it's hell. Because sometimes the truth hurts. Always tell the truth. honey, do these britches make my butt look big? Well, you going to tell her the truth or you going to let her walk out like a blimp painted black? Just saying. Tell the truth. Tell the truth 100% of the time. Teach your children to tell the truth all the time, and they won't be having to try to think stuff up to cover up their lies. Sometimes we don't want to tell people the truth because we're afraid it's going to hurt their feelings. We don't want to tell people the truth because we're afraid they're going to be offended. What if we really serve a God that is sovereign? And what if the Holy Spirit can be speaking to us and asking us to share truth with someone that might be a little bit uncomfortable, but what if the Holy Spirit on the other side is preparing their heart to receive the truth so they can step out of the bondage of the lie, because we'll know the truth and the truth will set us free? I think we ought to trust God and speak truth everywhere. Always, all the time, just tell the truth. Because Proverbs 19:5 says, a liar will not go unpunished. Ephesians 4:25 says, put away all falsehood and all lies. Next point, number five, the last commandment, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not lust after. Thou shalt not desire. Thou shalt not be jealous of other people's stuff. Don't be coveting your neighbor's wife. Don't be coveting your neighbor's house. Don't be coveting your neighbor's servant or your neighbor's cattle or your neighbor's horses. Can I tell you something right quick? Because your neighbor's wife is not as sweet as you think she is. Your neighbor's horses are not as broke as you think they are. Your neighbor and his friends, they don't have as much fun as you think they do. Stop coveting everything that everybody else has. Can I tell you that there's something that you and I do, most of us do it every day, multiple times, and you've probably done it since you've been in church this morning. And you know what? It enhances covetousness. Social media. Because you know what? We have this sign as you walk in our house, and it says, everybody thinks we're a nice, normal family. But the Cochran's ain't. But if you look at my social media page, buddy, I got it going on. I ain't never cooked a bad steak. Come on, somebody. And Tubby ain't never looked bad. She, you know what I mean? Like, and my family is great. You know what? We look at Facebook and we look at Instagram and we go, oh, wow, what they have is better than what I have. And then we feel down and we feel discouraged and the enemy comes in and we're coveting everything that else has. Can I tell you what you see on Instagram? It's not really that good. It's not. Stop coveting what other people have. The Bible teaches us this, that God is no respecter of persons. And if God blessed somebody else, God will bless you as well. And I'll guarantee you this, if you and I will focus on honoring God and teaching and training our own children, my Bible says that God will give us the desires of our heart. And if we work hard and God gives us the desires of our heart, what he gives us will be better than what our neighbor has. But we can't be looking over the fence saying the grass is greener on the other side. You know why the grass is greener on the other side? Because they've been running the septic tank out over there. Conrad, come help me close, please. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Stop lying. And do not covet. I paint this picture for you right quick as I close. God is on the mountaintop in the Old Testament. Not everyone could approach God. Only the men of God. It was before Jesus came. Remember when Jesus came and he died on the cross, the veil was ripped, and now we can all come to God by the blood of Jesus. In the old day, God is on the mountaintop. There was thundering and there was lightning and there was sound of trumpets and there was fire. It was scary. But God chose Moses, and Moses went up to the top of that mountain, and with God's finger, he wrote the Ten Commandments on these tablets of stone, and Moses comes and brings them back down to the people to say, if you'll follow these and you'll honor God, God will honor you. I want to read you what that scripture says. Exodus 20, Verse 18, now when all the people saw the thundering and the flashes of lightning and the sound of trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people trembled and they stood afar off. Moses came down to them, and Moses said to the people, God has come to give you these commandments, and God has come to test you that the fear of the Lord would be in you so that you would not sin. I'm going to close today with this. If we want to honor the Ten Commandments and live by them and obey them, there has to be a little bit of the fear of the Lord inside of us. We've told everybody in America, God is good and God is love and God never holds us accountable and God doesn't care what you do. Just go live your life and go break the Ten Commandments and steal and have and commit adultery and just come back to God and God loves you. And God does love you, but there are always consequences for our sin and for our bad choices. And the reason there is, we've lost the fear of God anymore. The best way I can explain this is my kids. Like, I love my kids. I ain't the best dad, and I've made some mistakes, and they'll tell you. But my kids, Will and Jesse and Clara, they have a little bit of the fear of dad in their hearts. He still does. Like, I love my kids, and they know that I love them. And when they make mistakes, they know I love them, and I won't tongue lash them, and I won't condemn them, and I won't beat them up, but they know I'm liable to take them to the barn and get them bridle reins and blister that butt. When they were little, I did. They know they have this fear. They have this healthy fear of, like, I don't want to disappoint my dad. Like, I don't want to. I want to honor him. I love him. I want to give him my best. I don't want to break what my dad has handed down to me. And I'm telling you, there needs to be this fear of God that you and I have, not just for our physical father, but for our heavenly father. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to go against you. We got to go back and start teaching this. The Bible says that God chastens those that he loves. And if he loves us and we break his commandments, he will punish us for that. And if we don't want to sin and we want to obey the Ten Commandments, there's got to be a healthy fear, a reverent fear of God. Solomon, the wisest man ever, said this in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. The fear of the Lord. He also said this, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. So I want to challenge you to live that fear, that healthy fear. Teach that fear and honor the commandments of God. Y'all stand on your feet and we're going to pray and then we're going to close with a song of worship. Holy Spirit, speak to us as we close. Some of us are struggling today, Lord, with that murder and that hate thing. Some of us are struggling with that adultery thing and that pornography. Some of us are struggling with just straight up being jealous of anybody else and everything they have. Some of us are struggling with telling the truth. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Let that spirit come. Let that fire come. Let that holy fear come back into our lives and let us repent and move back and make a decision to honor you in all that we do. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's